I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome to But I'm a Lesbian, the podcast where we serve alt baddie sass, queer film reviews, and everything in between. Whether you are a baby gay
or a queer elder, we're here, we're queer, and we're diving deep into all things lesbian. We're your hosts, Caitlin
and Angelina.
Get ready for some sapphic serotonin. So, okay, first off, we need to acknowledge something very important.
Yes.
We have to tell you guys something. This week is Lesbian Visibility Week. Isn't that cool?
Let's go. Let's go, lesbians. Let's go.
I don't know. I think it's really special. So we're celebrating. We're being visible AF, as yes. always.
Can you see me? Can you hear
us? Can you hear me and see me? Can you see me and hear me? We have a super amazing interview with one of the founders of the Curve Foundation, Franco Stevens, at the end of this episode. Mm-hmm. So make sure you stick around for the whole episode. Listen to our segment after the last break. It's mm-hmm. going to be so awesome, so special. We were fangirling so hard.
I know, honestly. Yeah. Starstruck.
I know. Okay, so the Curve Foundation actually spearheads the Lesbian Visibility Week mm-hmm. Initiative in the US and Canada. So mm-hmm. perfect timing for this week.
Literally.
Yes. And so other than that, we are still doing a recap. I don't want to overshadow we can just talk about the recap, but Franco Stevens being on here is the biggest thing about this episode.
That is true.
But we are talking about Foxfire. Stars baby gay Angelina Jolie. Mm-hmm. That's always special. We love Angelina Jolie here.
Yeah.
And it is a classic 90s coming of age girl gang film. Yeah. It's described as
I
a girl
like
gang.
Described I
don't feel like
it pretty
they
well.
Really gave a gang, but I don't know. They're a gaggle of girls. And so in this film, a rebellious and super cool girl mm-hmm. named Legs, played by baby Angelina, gives the other girls their first tattoos. So what was your first tattoo, Angie?
Oh my gosh. Oh, okay. I'm trying to think. Have You're we like, discussed wait, this?
I don't think so. I think we I don't talked, think we talked about, we've talked about tattoos, but I don't know that we talked about our
like
first
our very
one.
First tattoo. Yeah.
If we did, I'm really sorry, you guys. I thought I looked back at things we talked about, and I don't think we did.
No, me too. I'm okay. thinking we talked about tattoos, but not first tattoos. Because I was yeah. going to say, oh, like you guys know when I said, but I think I created like a false memory. So
I don't know. Life is confusing. Maybe.
I could have been, but you guys are going to hear it again.
Yeah,
anyway.
I'm like, we're like almost 40 episodes in, I think now. So maybe, oh my God, maybe we're more than 40 episodes in. Whatever.
I we could have. Yeah, exactly. We're bound to repeat things,
yes.
but my first tattoo was actually a stick and poke that I did myself when I was like really young.
That's
and
so punk rock.
I actually did a lot of them, but then I covered most of them up other than this arm. They're very light because I was afraid to go super deep and I was also drunk. And
oh
so
my
I was
God.
Like, oh my God, I'm just gonna, I have all this time in the world, whatever. But the very first one that I did is this little spider that's like faded away and the hand I messed up on, but I think he's going like this, or she is, excuse me. She's like this. They're non-binary. They're going like this, so I call it my gay spider.
Aw, they're like a little linguistic.
Yeah. I'm like, aw, you look so ugly, but...
Aw.
I'm like...
How old were you when you did this?
Ooh, I want to say... oh my God. Maybe...
Answer me now.
Oh my God. Was I old? I wasn't old enough to drink. I don't think so. So I no. think, mom, don't listen to this.
Oh.
No. I'm going to say, because I can't exactly remember, I'm going to say I was like 18 maybe.
Yeah.
So not bad. But I did also do it at my in my room. So.
That's crazy. Did you ever give yourself any piercings?
Yeah, I did. Never any facial piercings because I was always afraid. But I pierced like everywhere in my ear, minus the like very like difficult ones. I would do like the helix and stuff. And then, yeah, I also wasn't allowed to do that either. But I would hide it because I'd go to school like this with my hair.
Yeah.
But one day I had it up and my mom was like, I only took you to get your lobes pierced, not the other ones.
Oh.
And I had like 4 going up, whatever. And she was like, what the fuck?
Oh, you're like,
but then she let me keep them. She let me keep them because she's like, well, you already did it. And then people at my school were like, can you do mine? And I was like, no, I only do my own because I don't want to get in trouble and hurt you. And I would also do it with an earring, not even a needle. So it extra hurt. And my ears look very ugly because of that. So now I get it done professionally.
By my
girlfriend.
Yeah. She's a piercer.
But that's like when you're younger, you know, like you see it and I'm just like, what would happen if you put the earring and you like really put it through? Because none of them were even sharp either, actually. So it was just a mess. Honestly.
Girl.
I know.
You were a wild and crazy kid.
But I was very afraid to do the facial ones.
Yeah, you're like, I can't mess up the moneymaker.
This is my beautiful face. Even then, I felt like my mom would be, because my sister at the time, she would do like, she did her own lip piercing with like a thumbtack. And she's like, I can do yours when you get older, like maybe when you're like a teenager, because I was like really young. But I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pierce my ears.
Oh my
God. But what about you?
Well, first of all,
what's your first tattoo?
I don't like to hurt myself at all. I don't even tweeze my own eyebrows. My wife does it for me because it hurts and I don't want to do it.
It does hurt.
Yeah.
And I don't blame you.
I'm like, oh. And she's like, babe, you have to stop complaining if you want me to do this. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't like hurting myself in any way. So I never would have tattooed I also am not the greatest artist, so I would have
neither
known.
Am I, which is why they all look so ugly.
It's cute though. But no, my first tattoo is actually covered now. It was my first chest piece. So my mom paid for my first tattoo, which so cool. On my 18th birthday, because I always knew I wanted to be like a tattooed person, right? Mm-hmm. And so she said she'd pay for my first one. So of course I was like, well, I'm going to make it big. Go big or go home.
No, exactly.
That's a struggle. I still kind of live by that.
That's
and I'm
the Aquarius in you.
Yes, I'm like all or nothing. Go big or go home, girl. So I got my full like chest blasted on my 18th birthday. And it was cute at the time, but it was a Gandhi quote, and I have since found out that Gandhi was actually like not that great of a person. He was racist and he was creepy towards his nieces. Mm-hmm. And so I had it covered recently, which I'm wearing the most high-necked dress.
I was gonna say,
you can't even see it on YouTube, but I recently had it covered with like a big heart-shaped like amethyst and some other crystals and flowers and stuff. I'm like, what is on my tattoo? Anyway, that was my first tattoo. Mm-hmm. And then I went crazy and got like so many tattoos after that because I was 18 and I was living at home, so I didn't have to pay rent. And so I was like, wow, I have so much money.
I felt the same way when I was still living. I'm like, I can get all these things and I don't have to worry about rent or anything.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I wish I didn't have to pay rent or mortgage now. That'd be cool. I'd be like so rich.
You oh my know? God, like, that's true.
If I don't even want to talk about how much our mortgage costs. Anyway, so do you have any hot takes or burning desires that you want to share about this film?
I feel like it's kind of going to be the same as yours. Rewatching it, I thought that there was a lot more to it. And I think, again, like, I guess when you watch stuff like that, you kind of have to read into things. So I was like, it's so gay, oh my God. But maybe the only thing that was gay is like Jenny and Angelina Jolie. I know there's like gay moments, but it's never like explicitly like they're kissing, they're together.
I know.
Yeah,
I could have sworn that Maddie and Legs kissed.
Me too.
And it was this moment, I'm sure you'll talk about, she just kind of like touches her face or her hair.
Yeah.
And it's like this very intimate moment, which I guess this is all we can get for like a not super independent small film in the mid-90s. But there were, you know, we knew that Legs was at least bi because she talked about like liking girls or something. Yeah. And so there were some gay things, but it was not as gay as I remembered. Also, yeah. I get what you're saying about maybe the gayest thing was because we know that Angelina and Jenny Shimizu actually dated.
Yeah.
So we were like, oh, they're in this movie and they were gay together. So therefore the movie is gay. And we're like, it actually wasn't that gay. but yeah, I guess that was kind of a similar hot take. We were like, it wasn't as gay as we thought.
Yeah, it was like.
Sorry, guys.
It's still gay.
Yeah. There's still a main character that is gay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so good looking. if you didn't know how I feel about Angelina Jolie, is that
I
like,
wonder, do you even like her? I like, I don't know.
I feel like this is my most basic crush. Like, you know how same, like.
But she's so.
She's so beautiful.
She is.
And oh my God, I saw something recently with Shiloh.
And was it when they're at the concert and that
I don't know.
When she's at the concert?
It was like she was in like a movie or something or like a music video.
Oh, and never mind.
It was like just an article about how like no one that worked on it knew that she was Shiloh. Like they didn't know that she was a Nepo baby or something. She was like, because she's actually a talented dancer. But anyway, she's just so beautiful because she does look just like Angelina, but then at the same time, you can see the Brad. But obviously, even though Brad is a bad person, he is a good-looking person.
Yeah,
so
conventionally attractive.
Yeah, that asshole. F-150 motherfucker. Stupid show or movie is. Anyway, okay, so we're going to take a quick break now. And when we get back, we'll get into the recap. So while we're out, think about your next tattoo idea. Welcome back to But I'm a Lesbian. This week, we are discussing Foxfire.
Yes. Okay. So, the movie begins in the woods. And there's like music and there's a man posing naked while a woman is taking his photos. And then they're like running through the woods, chasing like the photo that got away from them. And then somehow they end up clothed. Well, the man ends up clothed, thankfully, because it was a jump scare with his butt. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, this is literally like, I want to say 10 seconds into the scene and then it's there. And I'm like, oh, okay. So they're back on the street and they're like, he's running after her and she's so cool. She's roller skating.
Oh, that's so 90s.
All right. Yeah. It's so nice. She's just roller skating and he's like trying to run and catch up to her. And so then there's like a voiceover of her and she's just like, I thought it had it all. Like, sights on college, gonna get into art school, a perfect boyfriend and stuff. But, you know, clearly other things happen. She keeps alluding to that. So she is like roller skating around the school, which is very impressive. Because I'm like, wow. She's like going down and up and down the stairs too.
Oh, yeah. Impressive. And I was like, what the hell?
Right? Yes. Oh, yeah.
I was like, how did they let her do that?
She's a rebel. Too. I know.
Rebel girl.
And so, I mean, that fits.
Yes.
So she's like taking photos of the people around the school for her project. And then she takes a photo of a girl passed out in a bathroom stall. And I'm like, oh my God, you're not even going to check on her to see if she's okay.
Yeah, that feels very like exploited.
It does. Yeah. It does. And that is Jenny Shimizu.
Yeah.
So, very hot as well. And I agree. So,
still very hot.
Still very hot.
She'll always be hot.
Exactly. Yeah. So then she's like making it to her class. And then there's like a teacher that's like really close to a student. And then he like backs away when he sees her come in. And so, I know, creepy teacher. Yeah. So we learn that her name is Maddie and she's like in class and the creepy teacher is preparing everyone to dissect a live frog.
That's so evil.
I know.
Sorry.
No, I believe so too. I'm glad I didn't have to do that in school.
I didn't either. But yeah. I don't know if it's because I – that was they during the year of school that I didn't, like, go.
Like, to do the live thing. We didn't have anything live, but they did, for certain classes, have, like, animals that were donated, like – they were frozen and donated, like they had picked them up from the highway so that you're like supposed to do like dissections and stuff for like veterinary science.
Okay.
And it was awful, the smell. Oh. And I was in that class, but I couldn't do it. So my other classmates dip it, even though they were dead. I just think it was the smell and just the touching, because we were supposed to do like shots and everything else. And I had wanted to be a veterinarian. What do you mean
by shots?
Like in their skin, like we were learning the
like a vaccine.
Yes.
I was like, shot.
I'm like taking shots in high school.
You have to do it. Get the liquid courage.
I'm like, oh my God. I took a shot as I'm giving them an actual shot. But this is what it reminded me of. And I was like, thank God I didn't have to do anything live.
Yeah.
And so a student named Rita cannot bring herself to do it. And as that's happening, the teacher, Mr. Buttinger, fitting name.
Yeah, it's Buttinger.
It is a stupid name.
I'm sorry
name.
If that's your last name. It made me think Butterfinger.
I almost put Butterfinger down.
Mr. Butterfinger.
We're just going to refer to him as the creepy asshole. And yeah. So as all that's happening, there's like a mysterious person walking into the school and the security stops them. And it's like, young man, hello. But it's actually a woman and she's so hot. And it's Angelina Jolie.
Yeah. How could anyone mistake Angelina Jolie for a man?
I know. It's because she had like her back towards him. And then when he's like, young man, and it's
she had like a hoodie.
Yeah, she had like a hoodie and her hair is short. Mm-hmm. So she's giving a little like mask in this, but you can still see anyways.
Yeah.
So she walks into class and just sits down at the same table as Maddie and everyone's staring at her, but she says nothing. And so Mr. Buttinger is still yelling at Rita for not being able to do it. And he's like, you know what? I'll see you in detention then. And she's just like, oh my God, no, like I'll do it. And Maddie and the mysterious woman are talking. I'm just going to refer to her as Legs because we know she's Legs.
Yes.
So Maddie and Legs are talking and Legs like, why don't you just stop him from like doing that to her? But Maddie can't do it. So then Legs just gets up and takes the frog and sets the frog free. And then the teacher's really mad and she's just like, bye, I don't even go here. She's
that's
like,
so
peace.
Funny. She's like, I just came in here to save this girl from
you.
Like,
she came in and sat down and then was like, bye.
Okay, bye.
So then, oh my gosh. Oh, so then in the bathroom, Legs and Rita are talking and Rita's telling Legs that Mr. Buttinger does very like inappropriate things to her. Like he's always getting close and he's like touching her and like all this other stuff. And so Maddie walks in and another student named Violet comes out from the stall and she confirms that he does stuff to her as well. Mm-hmm. And so the cheerleaders that are listening to this conversation are like, oh my God, whatever. They're being dismissive. But then they're also like, that's on you for letting him do that. And so they walk out and Legs is like really mad because she's like, when something happens to one person, it should mean that like it affects all of us because, you know, you can't allow like one person to suffer like that. So she's like trying to rally the girls and say, and she says that like, you know, let's come up with a plan. And so Maddie and Violet and Rita and Legs are like, okay, let's do it. And so later that day, obviously Rita's in detention. And he's like sitting close to her and he's like touching her boobs and he's like telling her all these like disgusting things.
Ew.
And then Maddie comes in and she's like, I forgot my notebook. But then the other girls come in and they confront him and they basically attack him eventually because he like is getting really upset that, you know, he's been caught.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you do this to multiple people.
Yeah, maybe don't be a grossie.
Right? Ew. And so they attack him and then Legs like threatens him. And then Goldie, the girl that was passed out mm-hmm. earlier, comes in and is just like, hell yeah. Like, you know, she's like, I think she's like, fuck yeah or something. Yeah. Like, you know, he's a creep, whatever. And so then they all run out and Legs is the only one that stays to like threaten him again because, you know, she's just like, don't ever do this. And while they're all talking and stuff, they're just like, who was that? Like, who was that person?
That just rallied all of us to do
this. Yeah, and then she's not even with us. And so then back at home, Maddie's like laying down. Like, it's very beautiful scene outside though. Because it's like raining. And she has like a beautiful room.
Yeah, she has a cool room. Like
she
one
does.
Of those rooms that
she's a typical
it's
like
a loft
yeah.
type thing.
I'm like and so jealous.
So cool. But she has a tiny bed. It's she does. Like I don't know if
it's
most
like
teenagers had beds that small now or at that time, but it was like a twin bed. It was so tiny.
Yeah. I'm trying to think back. I think I had a twin bed.
Man, I am so sorry. I had a queen.
You're like
of
a queen for a queen.
Only child behavior.
Maddie looks out the window and she sees Legs and she invites her in. And then she's like talking to her and saying like, you know, like, where are you going? Like, do you go to the school, whatever? And Legs is just like, I don't go to school. I'm suspended for following my own like thing. And she just says that she's passing through. And so Maddie's just like, oh, okay. And she gives her a change of clothes and Legs is like, can I sleep here tonight? And she's like, yeah, sure. So the next day, Maddie like gets up and is getting ready for school and she's like looking for Legs. And she eventually finds her like walking along the street and there's like a big bridge. Also, this was filmed in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, I was wondering, I was like, this is giving like Washington or Oregon, yes. But I wasn't sure where it was set.
Yeah, before. I forgot to include that in there, but I looked it up and they said Portland, Oregon. So, nice. She's walking and then she's like asking Legs for her name and then they're like looking at each other and Legs says, don't worry, you're not my type.
Yeah.
And so obviously Maddie's like, oh, okay, like I get it. And so Legs is like joking around with Maddie and she like takes her like bag camera thing and she climbs up the bridge and Maddie's like freaking out because she's like, oh my God, like don't do that. And Legs gets scared by like an oncoming truck that honks and drops it. And then eventually she gets down and is like, don't worry, I'll get your thing back, like your bag. And she eventually is. And
yeah, because it like gets caught on like a hook. Much lower yeah. hook. So she has to like climb over there and like get down
into the water, like by the water.
So scary.
And yeah, I honestly be freaking out too. I was freaking out when I saw her climb the bridge.
I know, I was scared the whole time.
I was like, oh my God. And so after she gets it back for her, Maddie tells her about an abandoned house where she could stay at because Legs is like, I will probably need $50 before I leave town and I'll do it by collecting bottles. And so Maddie's just like, okay, let me tell you about this house. And so at the school, Maddie's boyfriend, oh my God, her boyfriend's name is Ethan, isn't it?
He's the dad from Twilight, right?
Okay. Is he?
Oh, not Bella's dad. He's the dad of, you know, Edward and stuff. He's the vampire dad.
Okay, yeah,
I think it's him.
Okay.
I don't care what his name is in this show. He's the dad from the Twilight.
Okay. We'll just refer to him as Maddie's boyfriend because I can't remember her name.
Like, I don't know what his name was. I did not write that down. I don't care about men's names.
So while she's at the school at her locker, he comes up to her and he's like mad at her for not telling him what happened. And then eventually she's called into the principal's office with the other girls and they tell the principal what happened. And he's just like, this is a very serious allegation, you know, because they don't deny that they did attack him, but they said that it was like self-defense because he was being a fucking weirdo. Mm-hmm. And so he questions if they're a gang and then is like, they still are trying to tell him like, hey, you know, this is not okay, whatever. And then he suspends them for 2 weeks and then they keep talking and Maddie's like, can I pick up my application for my like art school? And he's like, no, you should have thought about that before. So he's a fucking asshole. Yeah. And I think they get suspended up to 3 weeks because they keep talking. So then they're like outside and they're like, kind of like, what should we do? Cause if we don't go to school, all of our parents are going to know and we're going to be in a lot of trouble. But then they're like, you know what? I know a place to go. Let's go to the abandoned house.
In the woods.
Yeah. And Maddie tells Legs what happened. And they're like drinking from her bottle. And Legs convinces the girls to go to the school to retrieve Maddie's art portfolio. Because she's like, you know, we should just go and do it and take it. And they're like, okay, fuck it. Let's go. So
like, we're drunk. Let's do it. Good idea.
Right? They're in the art class. And then Goldie is like smoking something. And she like flicks her – doesn't she flick the entire like joint or like
something like
the
that.
Ashes? And then she starts a fire.
Yeah,
and
so stupid.
I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, you
kids.
You, right? So the school is up in flames and obviously the alarm's going off, the water's going off, and then there's cops and they're like all trying to hide and run away, whatever. And somehow Legs and Maddie are like in this utility closet and they're like sitting very close and the police comes in to look. He looks like 2-3 times, but there's nothing. However, I feel like there was a gay moment because Legs had like her hand on Maddie and they were kind of just like...
It was
looking at each other, and I was like, opinion. Oh my God, gay.
I was like, should they do it?
I was like, in should the they closet? Just I'm like, oh my God, the adrenaline from the cops. So, and then nothing happens. So then they go back to the house and everyone's like really excited and probably still running on the adrenaline. And Leg says that she wants to commemorate this night. So then she takes off her top and she's going to like give herself a tattoo like above her, isn't it above her boob, like right here? Or like on her boob, but like chest area.
Yeah.
She's going to give herself a tattoo and it's of a flame.
Yeah. I also, I like, I guess because she had like a high neck like t-shirt on. Because I'm like, it was kind of like at the top of her boob. Like, so I'm like, did you really have to be totally topless?
She did. She's like making a statement.
But yeah, I don't know. This added to the gay vibe.
It did.
She's like,
she's like, anyways, and then she starts giving herself a stick and poke, and everyone else is just like, oh my God, like, whoa. And so then Maddie eventually is like, I want a tattoo as well. And then basically everyone gets one when they're like smoking.
Everyone gets topless except for Rita.
Rita just like kind of moves her shirt or something so that they can give her one. But everybody else is topless and they are like getting their tattoos and stuff. And, you know, they're bonding.
Yeah, it's so cute.
It is.
Also, I love that she had different colors of ink. Like, she carries it with her.
She had, like, in her little box thingy, and then everyone was, like, curious of what she was doing, and then they're like, oh.
I was scared. I thought she was going to do some sort of drugs.
Me too, actually.
She was like, I'm commemorating the moment or whatever, she's and like, I was like, what? Snort. She's going to get, like, really fucked up, and then she was like,
she's like,
this is the sound, apparently. Anyway, it was cool.
That is a cool one. And so then the next day, Maddie's boyfriend is waiting for her outside the abandoned house and he sees her tattoo. And then he's like, oh my God, what about our art portfolio together? And she's like, we should just do it separately. And he's just like, okay. So then at Goldie's house, her father is yelling at her for getting a tattoo. And the stepmom that I assume is her stepmom.
Oh, I thought they were both her adopted parents.
Or like, the mother.
Together.
I guess so, yeah. But okay, I guess her mom comes up and is like, hey, there's a girl here to see you. And we're also going to be gone for a convention. So
the funniest thing is she says there's a girl or something to see you.
She's like, whatever like, she what is, a weird whatever thing they are. To say.
Yeah.
And so Goldie is like, goes out there and sees that it's Legs and they're like messing around as like Goldie's showing her stash. And then Legs is like playing with the gun in the house. And then Legs is like trying to uplift Goldie because Goldie makes a joke about her dying. And Legs is just like, stop that. Mm-hmm. And also, don't do drugs because this is bad for you. And they go to the abandoned house and all the girls are cleaning it up and like kind of moving their stuff in. And it's so cute. I really like that. Mm-hmm. And then Violet comes running in and she shows them a letter from an anonymous freshman student that like thanked them for getting rid of Mr. Budinger because he was doing the same thing to her as well. Mm-hmm. And they're like all really excited because, you know, they felt like they did something good. And they did, honestly. Yeah. So then later that night, they're like dancing and having fun. And then, of course, a group of boys come to ruin the fun and they confront them about Mr. Budinger, who's their coach, their football coach. And basically they're like, there's a petition around the school that is trying to get him fired and all the other girls are signing it. Well, if they're signing it, it's for a fucking reason. They support the other girls and it probably happened to them.
Yeah.
But they are saying like, oh, you guys lied. Like you guys lied that it happened. So you need to fix this because if he gets fired, like just wait. And so, the ringleader, Dana, is like threatening the girls and they're just like, fuck you, whatever. But one of the guys, Bobby, is like kind of asking if it's true and they're like, yes. And he does seem to like Rita.
Yeah, I know.
Which I was like, okay.
And that guy is in other shows now.
Is he?
He's in something that my wife watches. It's like, I want to say he's in The Boys or no, he's in some show that she watches because I've seen him on the screen before. Mm. And I was like, hey, that guy is in that show you watch. And she was like, yes, he.
We'll have to look him up. He dies
in whatever show he's in. Anyway.
He's not,
Inadvertent spoiler because I don't know what the show is called, but this guy is in some show now where he dies.
So in this one, he's alive though. So
yes.
He does kind of like Rita. And then over the next few days, they're like growing closer and like wandering around town and doing fun stuff and like all climbing the bridge. And then it's kind of cool because the boys are yelling at this part's not cool. The boys are yelling at them, but the girls are cheering them on, like in the bus. And so I think that's really nice. Mm-hmm. And then one night, Goldie's dad finds her with Legs and Maddie and basically is like, get in the car, and hits her. And Legs gets really upset, and Maddie like tries to calm her down. And so then they are on the roof of the abandoned house. And then Legs is like telling Maddie about her mom dying and like how she has a dad, but she doesn't know where he is. And so she tells Maddie that she's going to be leaving in a couple of days. And then Maddie tells her, like, would you take someone? And they kind of have like this thing where, you know, Legs is just like, is this person ready for the unknown and stuff? And Maddie's just like, yeah. And they're staring at each other. Yeah. And oh my God, Maddie is like telling Legs, which is, all this is so gay, but obviously they were too, either they weren't able to, whatever, make it really gay. But Maddie is like, I want to tell you that I love you, but I feel like you would take it the wrong way. And Legs is just like, huh? And Maddie's just like, because you're, you know. But they never even say either that she's gay.
Yeah.
So then Legs is just like, I'll take it whatever way you want me to. So then Maddie goes and like caresses Legs' face. Yeah. And then they have like that very intimate moment that you were talking about.
Yeah.
And then they like, Maddie puts her head on her shoulder and she's just like holding her. And I'm like, this is also gay. Because she obviously like loves her. And so then the next day, Cindy goes over to see Maddie and she tells her that her and Dana got into a fight and he like pushed her and hit her. So she's afraid to like go somewhere. She's afraid to go to another place by herself. And she's like, well, I thought you'd help me with this kind of thing. So Maddie's like, okay, I'll go with you. She walks with her. They're kind of talking and getting along. And Cindy tells Maddie that Budinger was fired. And so once they're out in the street, Cindy kind of has like a thing where she's like, I'll go by myself. But then the car comes up with a group of boys. And then she tells Maddie to go home. But then Dana comes out and they're like, oh yeah, we use Cindy to like lure you out. And they obviously are going to kidnap her and rape her because.
Yeah. What the fuck? It's so weird.
And they're saying that Cindy's going to be like the witness that like, oh, whatever this was, it was like consensual, like, because, you know, they need somebody else. But then Cindy's just like, let's forget it, go home. But they're like shoving Maddie into the car and Legs arrives and holds Dana at knife point. And so Legs, Goldie, and Maddie steal his car and catch up with Rita and Violet and tell them like what happened. And they attract the attention of the cops and they accidentally crash the car.
Bummer. I don't feel like she really knows how to drive.
They didn't, and they were probably like fucked up because they just like, always drink and smoke. And so, I wasn't expecting. They crashed the car, and they are taken to trial. And Legs, since she has a previous like record, is given 6 months to a year, and then the other girls are basically put in the care of their parents, which they already are, so they got let off. And then Maddie's basically telling the judge, like, no, she was trying to protect us. And the boys and Cindy lied, but they're not hearing any of it. So Legs is sent to juvie. And time has passed by at this point. And the other girls are, like, lost without Legs because she's, like, the ringleader. Yeah. Like, she's the leader. Mm-hmm. And Goldie becomes addicted to heroin.
Yeah.
Which is really fucking sad.
Yeah. And they were kind of, I think, hinting before because she was, like, showing her stash. And then before they showed, she was, like, passed out in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So she – and then she said the thing about, like, being depressed. Yeah. So I feel like she was already having drug issues. And now it's gotten, like, way out of control.
Yeah. Now it's just, like, full blown.
It's really bad.
So then obviously, like, the girls are doing their own thing, but they're still, like, sad and without Legs. And Cindy goes to the judge one day and tells her the truth, which, yay for Cindy for doing that in the end, right? Yeah, took her long enough, right? And so Violet goes over to Maddie's house and they're, like, connecting with Rita through a chat. And then they call Goldie's house and her dad says that Goldie hasn't been home in 2 days. And if they see her, tell her to come home. So Maddie is, like, worried and goes looking for her and then finds her sleeping on the couch of this, like, trap house, basically. And she, like, takes her to the abandoned house. And the girls don't know what to do because Goldie's, like, really fucked up. And Maddie decides to stay with her. All the while, Legs is released from juvie and she goes to the abandoned house and the girls are, like, so happy to see her until they're like, Goldie is sick. Like, we don't know what to do. So they decide to go to Goldie's dad and they tell him that they need $10,000 to send Goldie to rehab. And Legs is just like, you know, this is your daughter. You need to help her. And all the other girls are trying to convince him. But he's just like, no, I'll take care of her. Just bring her over here. I'll deal with it. But they are adamant that they want that money to send her to rehab themselves. And so the other girls are like kind of giving up. But Legs is like, I'm going to tell the authorities that you beat Goldie. And then she decides to use the gun, like kidnap him at gunpoint.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And the other girls are like, what the fuck are you doing? And she's just like, I don't care. So they literally take him in the car and they take him to the abandoned house and they tie him up. Mm-hmm. And Legs is like, you know what? I'm going to ask his wife for the money. And so they're like, okay, so basically a ransom. What the fuck?
Yeah.
And at the house there, they're like, Maddie and Legs are arguing because she's like, no, this is not the right way to do it. Like, none of the other girls want to do this either. But Legs is so caught up in her own thing. And Maddie does tell her, like, this is about Goldie. This is not about you and your issues with your dad.
Yeah.
Your parents. And so Legs is still kind of like flipping out because she's just like, no, fathers don't care and whatever. And then Goldie walks in. So Rita's holding the gun throughout all this. Bad person to be holding the gun, I'd say, to be honest with you. But she accidentally shoots Goldie's dad in the shoulder and then they all freak out and they're like, what the fuck? And Goldie's like, oh my God. And everyone is like untying him. And then like, they're like, what should we do? And they're like, take him to the hospital. And they are all getting, like, carrying him out to take him to the hospital. But as they're leaving, Maddie notices that Legs is missing. So she decides to go to find her while Rita's like, I'm going to drive. The other girls go. So Maddie finds Legs walking on the bridge. And she's like, what the fuck? Like, what are you doing? So they argue. And Maddie's like, you don't have to leave. Like, you can stay. Like, stay here with us. We're your family. And Legs is telling Maddie to leave with her. She's like, you know, you can still come with me. And so Legs tells Maddie that she will, because they're both indecisive, so she's going to like hitchhike mm-hmm. and she'll catch a ride. And when the car comes to get her, then Maddie will know whether or not she wants to go with her. And so eventually a truck does stop and Maddie tells her that she will never forget her. And Legs is like heartbroken. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, you're always in my heart. Like, you're in my heart. And so she gets in the truck and she leaves. And that was very sad. So while Maddie is like climbing the bridge after Legs is left, there's like a voiceover of her saying that Goldie's dad told the police that he shot himself and they actually believed it and that he got Goldie into rehab and they worked things out eventually. And then Maddie says that she's traveled the world and been to lots of places but she's never seen Legs again. And the other girls have drifted apart, but when they do see each other, they like always catch up because they're bound together for life. And then as the voiceover ends, Maddie's like at the top of the bridge, which is like obviously the comparison because in the beginning she was like terrified to go up there. And then now she's like walking, which is still fucking scary.
I know. Because
it's so fucking high.
I know.
And that is the end of the movie.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. That was so good. I do wish, maybe this should have been my hot take. I wish that Maddie would have gone with her, but I also am like that as an adult, I'm like, it's good she didn't go with her because now she can like go to art school and she could travel the world and do the things she wanted to do. Whereas if she went with her, she probably would be like broke all the time and like struggling.
Yeah.
So she made the right choice.
I agree.
But my inner teenagero is like, oh, you should go with her.
I know, right?
So it's time for Munch, Merge, Murder. So our options are Legs, Goldie, and Maddie. Have you thought about this, girl?
No, but I think it's very easy for me.
Okay. Well, what are you going to say?
Okay. So I feel like it's very obvious. I'm going to merge with Legs, even though we're going to have a crazy lifestyle.
Yeah. Even though we are going to be broke and
and struggling and maybe getting in trouble with the law.
Yes.
It's like the alternate universe. That's me.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, so I'm going to merge with legs and I'm going to oh my God, actually this is not as easy as I thought. But I do like both of them. However, I think I'm going to munch Goldie because I think she's actually gay and I'm going to murder Maddie because I don't think she's come to terms yet and yeah. What about you?
I don't know. This might be a surprise. But I would merge with Goldie.
Okay.
Because I think she's really hot and she's also rich.
You're so right. Clearly I chose love.
Yes. And then I would munch legs because Angelina Jolie is so beautiful. And then that means that I would have to murder Maddie. So sorry, but we
both murdered Maddie.
Oh well. Yeah. So what would you rate this movie on a scale of 1 to 5?
Okay, I really like this movie. I just wish it was more gay. I want to say 4 out of 5 for me.
Girl, yeah. I said the same thing. I said 4 out of 5. We're boring. Why do we keep giving the same ratings? We have two similar of opinions.
I feel like it wasn't, I mean, but it's the truth though, right?
It is.
Like, it wasn't our favorite, but I didn't think it was a bad movie. So the only in between is like a 4.
Yeah.
You know?
Any reasonable person would give this a 4.
I honestly think so.
Fight me in the comments.
No, unless it's their favorite and they were
and
like,
they say 5.
5, yeah.
If they would have kissed, I would have given it a 5. In my memory, they kissed,
see, we
would have been a 5.
We would have had separate things because I didn't like the ending. So I still would have given it a 4.
Fine. okay. After the break, we will have our interview with Franco Stevens. Franco Stevens is a pioneering figure in queer women's media, best known for founding Curve Magazine, the world's most successful lesbian magazine. In addition to their media work, Franco co-founded the Curve Foundation, the only national nonprofit championing lesbian and queer women's culture through intergenerational programming and community building. The Curve Foundation spearheads Lesbian Visibility Week in the U.S. and Canada, with over 100 events this year during the week, which is April 20th to 26th. This week, Franco's story is featured in Ahead of the Curve, a documentary highlighting her work and life as a trailblazer in the LGBTQ+ community. Welcome back. So we are here with a very special guest, Franco Stevens. So Franco is a pioneering figure in queer women's media, best known for founding Curve Magazine, the world's most successful lesbian magazine. In addition to her media work, Franco co-founded the Curve Foundation, the only national nonprofit championing lesbian and queer women's culture through intergenerational programming and community building. The Curve Foundation spearheads Lesbian Visibility Week in the U.S. and Canada with over 100 events this year during the week, which is April 20th to 26th. Franco's story is featured in Ahead of the Curve, a documentary highlighting her life and work as a trailblazer in the LGBTQ+ community. Yay! So, okay.
Welcome!
Yes! Welcome. Thank you so much for being here, Franco. If anyone has not seen the documentary Ahead of the Curve, you need to see it. It was really good. I think a lot of documentaries make me tear up. I definitely teared up just because I felt like, I don't know, I felt like your story was really inspiring because you were like, literally, I'm just going to do this and I'm gonna make it happen. And I love that.
Yeah.
So we were really inspired.
Yes, absolutely. Very emotional. I feel like anything that we watch, like a lot of our episodes too, they just, we can relate to that, obviously. So it's just so nice seeing that. And it's nice seeing, you know, how you started it. And like, I think we compare it to our podcast as well, that like we started, you know, this from nothing and we're still continuing, but very inspiring.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm not going to ask for your big three, but what is your sun sign, Franco?
Oh, I'm a Libra.
Yes. I love it.
Yes.
yes. When we were watching the documentary, we're like, I see a Libra. And I love that. I am a fellow air sign. I'm an Aquarius.
And Angie is a fire sign. She's a Sag.
But I love Libras. My girlfriend's a Libra.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I always forget.
Also, right?
Same yes. Here. Yeah.
So, okay. We'll get into the interview questions. So, I kind of already hinted at this question just naturally. So, you really said, fine, I'll do it myself, and created what became Curve Magazine. Did you know that you were making history, or were you just running on vibes and spite?
Girl, no. I didn't realize I was making history. There's no way. I was just like, somebody needs to do this. Somebody needs to do this. Oh, if you want something done, you can't just complain. You got to go out there and do it yourself. So it was a little bit selfish that I wanted it. I just was like, I'm going to go for this. There's nobody that can tell me that I can't do this.
Yes.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the times that definitely is how things start. You just literally do it.
Well, yeah, it's so true. Like if everybody is sitting there thinking, I wish somebody would start a lesbian magazine. I wish somebody would start this. Then who's going to actually do it if we're all sitting there thinking somebody else needs to do it? So yes, I love that.
Yes. So what is, if you can share, the most chaotic moment from the early Curve days?
Oh my gosh. How do you single one out? There were so many chaotic moments. So many, like, lesbian culture back then was just so, I don't know, I want to say different, really oppressed, and a lot of activists just going, we have nothing to lose. So we're just going to get crazy. Like we were in the Lesbian Avengers. Our friends were dying of HIV, of AIDS. So we were in ACT UP. We were going to sex parties. We were creating lesbian magazines. And the staff at the time, well, when we first started, the magazine was all volunteer. And so, you know, you're all working together as a group. I didn't create it on my own. It was really a team of people that were so dedicated, and getting them to see the vision really propelled it forward. And, you know, I would come back to the office, which was quote unquote, the office, which was my living room at the beginning. You know, women would be having sex and be like, can you come back later? Because it's not working. Or somebody would come back from a festival and not want to wear their clothes because festivals are just go as you are, naked.
Yeah.
So, you know, people would be working on the magazine, sitting there, you know, I'm like, at least put a towel down on the seat that I'm going to sit on there.
Oh my gosh.
That's so funny. That is a lot of chaotic energy, but yeah. I love it. Also, the podcast studio is my loft in my house. So I get
we resemble that.
Yeah. We can relate to that. Yes. Minus the women having sex when we come in.
Well, you need to get on it.
I know, I'm like, that doesn't really, I mean, it is my house. So sometimes me and my wife, but not really in this room. This is also like the cat room. It's the cat room / podcast loft.
Well, good lesbian cat room, podcast room, just add the sex to it, you'll be good to go.
Exactly. Yes, that's all that we're missing, literally.
It's pretty much as gay as it can be up here. So you centered intersectionality from the beginning. What did that look like in practice when most media wasn't doing that?
Well, at first, intersectionality meant that we were using the word lesbian on the front cover instead of gay. Everything was gay. We're gay women. We're this. And I was like, I'm putting lesbian on the front cover of this magazine.
Yeah.
And that was kind of at the time, people were like, that's crazy. No one's going to buy this thing. You know, you're essentially coming out to the clerk at the store when you buy it. And then remember I was telling you about how great our core staff was at the beginning, and now 35 years later, still amazing staff of dedicated people. I remember one of my, what I call my tech bros, which I call now, but then I had a different term for it because there was not really the tech thing. We didn't even have a computer when we started, but he was my you know, my graphic designer who transitioned at the time in the early 90s. And I was like, okay, let's go. And then one of my editor, her partner transitioned. And she's like, you're probably going to not want me to edit the magazine anymore because my wife is becoming my husband. And I was like, why does it matter? You're the best person for this job. For us, a lot of intersection. We thought we were so liberal because we actually had like one straight dude who came in and helped us with our computers when we finally got something. And I was like, wow, okay.
Like, what was that term? A lesbro? Like a guy that is friends with lesbians, a straight guy. I don't have one of those. I have a brother-in-law. I guess that he's kind of like my straight man friend. No, I love that. And we were actually, the next question had to do with putting the word lesbian on the front. But there's a little more to the question. But I wanted to also say, I am really happy myself that you did that. Because I think there still is, and maybe it goes in phases, I don't know, but I've seen that there is kind of a lot of hesitation for people around the word lesbian. And I think maybe part of that is because if you search lesbian, often like porn comes up. And so it's been so sexualized, but obviously, we love the word lesbian because we put it in our title. We were like, we're
trying to keep it
away from
this. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, especially like younger generations, are like, and it's okay to like identify as queer, bi, pan, everything else, but I think they associate it with as like it being very like closed off, or the people that think like it's still a dirty word. And we're trying to obviously reclaim that still, or at least keep it alive and say like, we are proud lesbians, you know? Yeah. And I feel like that's exactly what you did in a time where it was very scary to do that.
Yeah.
Isn't it scary now though too? I mean,
yes. It is. Yeah.
Yes. And that's kind of what that next question that we were going to ask was, I guess we kind of just answered it ourselves, but do you still see that hesitation around the word today as well?
Yes, and that's a lot of the direction behind Lesbian Visibility Week is reclaiming that word. Mm-hmm. And there was, you know, that word has gone through so many, it's been seen as exclusionary. It's been seen as sexualized, just like you were saying. But we're saying now it's not. Like, Lesbian Visibility Week is an inclusive week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter how you identify or what terms you use for yourself. The week is for you. If you are a woman who loves women or a non-binary person who is in love, like, the week's for you. Not really for cisgender men, but otherwise we're pretty inclusive.
Yes.
I love that.
No, I love it too.
I know there's gonna be like a cisgender guy on here going like, well, when do I get my week?
Oh my God. Or the ones that say like, I'm a lesbian because I love women.
Oh my gosh. My uncle said that to me when I first came out. He was like, oh my gosh, we have so much in common. I'm also a lesbian. And I was like, okay, Skipper. Like, whatever.
You're like, sure.
What did you say to him?
I'm trying to remember, because I remember that I told him I had a girlfriend, and I was 19, and we both were 19 when we came out, which is so funny. And so was my wife. That seems like a common age to come out. Yeah. I remember telling him we were at like some concert at the fair, and I was like, well, I just want to tell you, because you're probably going to meet her soon, like, I have a girlfriend. And he was like, oh my God, we have so much in common. I'm also a lesbian. And I think I was just like, okay, it's not really the same, but whatever, Skip. And like, I didn't know what to say to him, but it's also,
we get that a lot. Like, a lot of people will say that. And what is the way to say that. And it's over sexualizing us again. It's the same thing. He was like, okay, well, I like to sleep with women, so clearly I'm the same. And he was maybe trying to make light of it.
Yeah.
Make you feel more comfortable. But what it really did was alienate you and make you feel like kind of gross.
Yes. And that was.
Sorry, Skip, if you're listening to this.
Oh, he's blocked on everything. I don't talk to him. He would not listen. But no, I think that was something that we didn't really talk about in the questions, but I feel like this conversation is flowing really well. So there are certain things that I feel like all lesbians have kind of heard. That's one of them, like straight men saying things like that. And that, because it was, I was just kind of coming out, that was also the age where I learned, which is sad, that a lot of times if a man is trying to hit on me, saying I have a girlfriend makes it worse because they love to be like, oh, can I watch? Can I be involved? And it's like, and so now as someone who's been, you know, out for, I don't know, 16 years. I don't know how long ago it was when I was 19, but you know, I'm literally married to a woman. And if it is an uncomfortable situation with a man hitting on me, I will say I have a husband because unfortunately they don't respect, another woman sometimes. Yeah. And that is so sad. So,
yeah. Or even in like, you know, if you don't feel that you're in a safe situation to say I have a wife, then it's like,
yeah, it can be scary. As out and proud as I am, there have been times where I'm like, this guy is not going to respect unless I say that I belong to a man.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
It's so sad. It's so misogynistic. It's so homophobic. It's,
Okay.
Sad. Absolutely.
Anyway, we got off track. Sorry
about
that.
That's okay. So sorry. Okay.
We loved that insight.
Conversation with you. And
You can ask the next one because
yeah, but that's okay. So in Ahead of the Curve, you talk about reaching isolated queer women. What kept you going in those early days? And what was it like watching your story back for the first time?
That's a great question. So what totally kept me going was the fact that I was seeing a real change. I was seeing a real difference. People were telling me their stories and they were influenced by what the magazine was doing and the message it was portraying. And there's just so much gratitude in that for me. And that's what kept me going. That was really it. It was like, wow, I started this for me, but it's just impacting so many people.
Yes. That's so awesome too. Cause it's like, even like what we've thought about is we've gotten like, we're so small. We're like such a small podcast. And, but we've gotten a few Instagram messages from people saying like, oh, I'm a freshly out lesbian and I found your podcast and you make me feel like you're my friends and you're giving me advice, you know, like that type of thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like this one person loves us. It's worth it to keep going because they feel seen.
Yeah, and for anybody listening, it's like the people who are putting their hearts and energy into creating space in this community, they just love to hear that kind of stuff. You don't think it makes a difference to us, but it really, really does.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Absolutely.
So Lesbian Visibility Week has grown into over 100 events. Did you expect it to become what it is now?
I didn't really expect anything. So a little bit about the history of Lesbian Visibility Week. There was a Lesbian Visibility Week for a couple of years in the 90s, and then it just totally dropped off. And then there was a Lesbian Visibility Day. And Diva Magazine, who's our counterpart in the UK, the publisher at the time was named Linda Riley. And she, during 2020, was like, enough with the day. We need a whole week to talk about the beauty and diversity of our community.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So for a couple of years, she did that. And then she realized, oh, this is a worldwide thing, but it's really hard to be in two continents at once. So she called me up and was like, hey, will you and Curve, the Curve Foundation, do some Lesbian Visibility Week stuff in the United States? And that first year, 2024, I think it is. Yeah. We did like three events. And then it just started to grow and snowball. And now we're doing 100 events. They're in person, they're virtual, they're almost everything we do personally is free. And you know, you can tune in whether you know another lesbian or not. There's some way for people to get involved.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I love that you do virtual as well, because I don't know if we shared this with you, but Kaylin and I do live in a small town. And like before we met each other, we had like hardly any lesbian friends. And there are some events, yeah, but not that many centered on lesbians specifically, which yeah, it's fun going to like events that are LGBTQ plus, but like sometimes you want like a lesbian event. So if there are other people in way smaller towns than we are in, they yeah, can just join virtually.
Yeah.
And still be a part of it.
Yeah. They can join virtually or they can do something small on their own. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really doesn't have to be a big performative thing. We have, you know, you can just raise a flag in front of your house. And the good thing is, the bad thing is, not a lot of people know what our flag looks like. So you yeah, might be, if you put yeah, out that progressive true, flag, you might be after, but you put out a lesbian flag, only the lesbians are going to know. So
that's true.
That is true.
I am always like, I always get my nails done in like, I just call them lesbian colors. Like, and no one that's not a lesbian knows what I'm talking about. They're like, what do you mean lesbian colors? I'm like, it's the colors of the flag. Okay.
They're just like, ooh, pretty colors.
Yeah. They're like, wow, so nice.
If you didn't know we had a flag, just another reason for Lesbian Visibility Week.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would love to tell you this one story about yeah, Wendy. We have this Lesbian Visibility Week planning team for people all over the U.S. and now we've expanded to Canada. And Wendy came to us and she was like, look, I don't really know many other lesbians in my area, but I want to do something. And she called up her city hall and was like, I want to raise the lesbian flag over the city hall. And she did that. And she connected with this whole group of people because of it. And now this year, she's got a tent in her yard and they're having like 100 people at this party. She's just... It's just snowballed.
Oh my gosh.
And people from like 100 miles away are coming to Wendy's house.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. No, that's so cool. And that's such a good story and like example of just like building community from, yeah, from something small. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it really is, it's just so special to have other friends that are gay.
Yeah.
And especially other lesbian friends. Like, mm-hmm, I feel like most of my adult life, the only other lesbian I knew was my wife. And so when Angie and I met, I'm like, this is so special. Like,
I know
we can talk about things that I can't necessarily talk about with my straight friends. Like, they might not necessarily get it, you know? So it's really special. Yeah. And Lesbian Visibility Week is really special.
Yeah.
We need to be seen. We need to
I know
be
we need to do like an event.
I know.
All of this is making me want to see like in our area, like who is out there? Who have we not, you know,
yeah,
connected with?
There, I mean, there are probably, I always meet people at work where I'm like, oh my gosh, you have a wife? Okay, so one more question.
Oh yes.
Which we've kind of touched on. So you co-founded the Curve Foundation. What's happening with it right now, and what do you want our listeners to show up for?
Well, with the Curve Foundation, I think you said this, the only national nonprofit focused on queer women and lesbian stories and culture. And we do it from an intergenerational perspective. So we're always connecting the past with the present and the future. So sometimes when we have discussion panels, for instance, we have one coming up during Lesbian Visibility Week on the terms we use. Like, you might call yourself a stud and I might call myself a butch, and that might be a generational thing. Mm-hmm. So we'll have three panelists who are Gen Z, three panelists that are Gen X, and have this conversation about all these terms. Like, do you know what flinta means? Who's using it? Do you know what stud means? Is it culturally appropriate for me to call myself a stud? The answer, mm-hmm, just so you know, is no.
Yeah.
I'm not
yeah,
black. But,
yeah.
But you know, there's all these terms that we use and the evolution of them. So we try to do our programming keeping that in mind. But one thing I want people to know about the Curve Foundation is that we uplift the journalists that tell our stories. We have a whole fellowship program where we send folks through a training program and they get to learn how to be good journalists from the journalists that are already telling our stories. And it gives them opportunities to meet and mingle and connect with jobs. And if they are not telling our stories in our authentic voices, who's going to be telling our stories?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we do that. We do Lesbian Visibility Week. We do lesbian and queer programming throughout the year. It's not just a weekly thing. Mm-hmm. And we publish Curve Magazine, which you can find online. But what's really cool about that is you can also find the 30-year archive of Curve Magazine for free. And you can be like, what was happening on my birthday when I was born in 1995 in the lesbian community? I'm just going to go to Curve and look it up and see who the women shaping the community there were then. What books, what music? I don't know. I think it's one of the greatest resources that our community has, and it's free online.
I love that. I'm going to be doing that. I think we both are going to be doing that.
You're immediately like, so I'm going to look up my birthday. That is so cool. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. All of those things are so awesome. And so I think that's all we have time for, but I am so, so grateful. We both are so grateful to you for being on the show. We have been looking forward to this for so long and can't stop talking about it.
I know. It's like we're telling anyone that listens.
I know. I'm like, you guys, it's so cool. You got to watch the documentary. Okay. So thank you so, so much. We really appreciate you being here and everything that you do and have done for the community.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Really my pleasure. And, you know, thanks for doing what you do.
Thank you.
That
means so much. Oh, honestly, I was like, wait a second. But we really appreciate that. Thank you so much, Franco.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good day. I don't know. I never know how to end this.
Hey, how about some rapid fire questions?
Okay.
Ooh, yeah. You know, actually, we did have one, right?
Yes.
We can give you rapid fire questions or you can give me some.
Okay. Ooh. Okay, here's the one. What is one lesbian film that you will always defend?
Oh, definitely Desert Hearts.
Okay.
Classic. You know, it's celebrating like, I don't know, I want to say like 40 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was from like 85 or 86.
Yeah. And it was the first lesbian movie that I watched that didn't end in either somebody going crazy, somebody getting killed, or a horrible breakup where somebody goes back to men.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is so unfortunately like common in a lot of lesbian movies that, you know, it's like, oh, it was their little phase and then now they're back with like their husband or something. Or they're like really happy and then one of them dies. Yeah. Which is like, why does it have to be tragic?
No, right? I know. Okay, one more rapid fire is who's the lesbian icon that you're like a ride or die for? Like, is there an icon you'll always love?
Well, just off the top of my head, I gotta say my wife, Jen Rain, and the filmmaker.
Oh, I love that. That's so sweet.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I do like that.
So, okay. Thank you so much. Thank you again, Franco, for being here. Mm-hmm. We're going to do our little sign off. So thank you everyone for tuning in to But I'm a Lesbian. We're your go-to for sapphic media reviews, WLW drama, and unfiltered queer takes. If you enjoyed the show, please like, share, and subscribe on every platform, at least everyone that you have. Leave us a review to help support the queer community and keep this lesbian-led pod thriving. After all, we're just two lesbians with mics out here trying to survive.
Yes. And tune in next week where we will be reviewing a classic Lifetime film, The Truth About Jane, which is available on Tubi.
Yes, Angie's favorite.
I know.
So we will see you next Tuesday. Executive producers for But I'm a Lesbian are Caitlin Beatty and Angelina Herrera. Produced and mixed by Victoria Shiflett. Creative direction and video editing provided by Juanita Iriarte. Music by Stiletto Falsetto.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.